90 minutes converted to 60. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. The interview of Albert Hing, interview number 58. This is tape number 2.
So how long were you a butler?
I was a butler for about 6 months. And then I got a job working for a director.
How did you make that jump?
Well, because being in a houseboy job, we can get other houseboys. They got, when they have a job open, they tell us.
Oh.
See, we have a sort of a small, closely knit fraternity of our own houseboys called on.
Were they all Chinese?
Oh yeah, they're all Chinese. Maybe half a dozen or so.
Around the same
time. See, I'm not the only houseboy that went to school.
Oh.
I recall a fellow named Ralph Wong. He was also a houseboy. But he had family backing and he went to University of California. Berkeley, and he came out with a Phi Beta Kappa. See, instead of a government grant, he had a family grant plus being a houseboy.
Mm-hmm.
So through these people, you know, and they always look at us lower houseboys, I mean,
mm-hmm.
less educated.
Yeah.
You know, with a fatherly attitude, anything comes up, they let us know. So this opening was with the William Dieterle, who was the director of
William
Dieterle. The director of Juarez. You don't know Juarez? Well, you probably seen him back in 1960 or so.
He went to work.
Betty
for him.
Davis was in that. And, Brian Ahern was in that. John Garfield was in that. The name of the picture is Juarez. It's about Benito Juarez, who was the father of Mexico. During Maximilian time.
Okay. You were doing the same job there.
Yeah, I got a job as a chauffeur and a script boy.
What's that?
Well, a script boy, in other words, I look over the script and correct whatever English is, making the phrasing correct. With the script boy, I work with the script boy. But I was hired as a script boy through the director because he looked over my school records.
Mm-hmm.
He found out I didn't have to take English A in college, and he asked me why. I said, I don't know why. And I used to prepare examinations, English examinations when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so your
class.
English must have
so,
been very good.
So he was just taking a fast step. He thought I was pretty good at it. So that was the reason. And he was going to have me as a permanent script writer.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers can't hire me because they don't belong to the union. And if you understand the movie business, you're either going to have to be related, you know, to up to the higher echelons to get any kind of a job.
Yeah.
You know, you can have to belong to the union. And you can't belong to the union until you become an apprentice. And you can't become an apprentice unless you're related to somebody who hires you an apprentice. So it's a close corporation in the movie industry at that time. But anyway, so I worked for a couple of years. Oh yeah, we made The Hunchback of Notre Dame to Charles Laughton. Various other pictures.
So
and
you went over the scripts?
Yeah.
Like an editor?
Yeah. And so anyway.
And in the meantime, you were being a chauffeur? And
yeah,
being
a chauffeur for him. And we used to drive out to Calabasas. Of course, that's a big, the Warner Ranch, they call it. And We also made blockade for Henry Fonda.
Yeah. I don't understand. Made blockade?
Yeah, the name of the picture is Blockade.
Oh, I see.
That's with Henry Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I saw how lazy these people in the movie industry were. And they wanted to get me in the script department, Warner's, and I couldn't get in. So they want me to apply, I think, to RKO to get into the makeup department.
What's RKO?
RKO, that's the name of the movie company.
Oh.
Because he generally gets farmed out to different studios to direct pictures. So every studio would go like Paramount, RKO. See, Metro just practically, Metro Goldman is practically closed because all they hired are Jewish people.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing against hiring Jewish people. You know, you really got to be related to somebody. I want to get in the cutting department. Now, the cutting department is where they edit the pictures. Now, the cutting department is the one that's going to make or break the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones that are just editing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can edit it in such a way that makes the movie star look great or make her look bad. So the stars always go with a head cutter, be nice to them, and direct them. But anyway, I never got those jobs.
Why?
Oh, so I quit it.
No, I mean, you couldn't get into the cutting?
No. Well,
department?
Actually, when you get a steady job, see, I was 21 then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I became 21. Decided I'm 21, I'm going to have to do better than just being an off-road chauffeur and all that. I got to find something that my intelligence can fit that would pay me what I feel is commensurate to what I know.
And but you couldn't be hired by the cutting department because you were not related.
No, I wouldn't say I'm not related. I don't have any political influence.
Does it have anything to do with you being Chinese?
Could be, but I don't know. They never said. But I know this in the makeup department. They're all cousins or brothers or something, you know. They make good money in those days. I think the cutter is making $125 a week. And that's minimum, because they only work 6 hours a day. And I think after so many hours, they get a day and a half off. They have a very good training. Of course, what I can remember of it, of course, now they're probably a lot different. So I didn't feel I was getting anything. So I got off. Oh, I was getting $90 a month to stand by. And so I got an offer of more money to be a chauffeur, straight chauffeur, and an opportunity to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
This is for Walter McCarty. You never heard of him. But he and George Young were the one that built the Hollywood Park. And he was the original owner of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
So you took it?
Oh, paying me $135 a month. Those days, that was good money. Even my friend Ralph Wong wasn't getting that much. And he's a Phi Beta Kappa. He was only getting $125, so I was doing very well. But anyway, when he was building Hollywood Park, he took it. He didn't have a family, no children. So when I was young, probably left me. I was his favorite. In fact, there's two shoulders. I was his favorite shoulder. And he built a wing into the garage just for me. And so he finally dropped the bombshell. He says, if I would stay with him, he would give me 100 shares of Hollywood Park. And also, you'll see that I'll finish college.
Stay with him, what does that mean? For a lifetime?
Well, I don't know. So, you know, with the experience, the prejudice, discrimination I've had with occasions, you know, I'm very cynical. I'm going to get stuck with this guy. I don't know what sort of a person he has, what sort of designs he has. But He doesn't have a family or anything. Yes, he didn't look at me as though I were Chinese.
But that in the original agreement, when he hired you, he was supposed to put you through college.
Oh, no. Yeah, no agreement. No agreement. No, okay. I just hired him as a chauffeur.
I see. Later on, he offered you
a
car at
college.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, so what did you decide? When was that? When did you go and work for him?
37.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he took a liking to me because when we take these trips to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
long trips, I call it long trips, I was always the chauffeur.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd hand me a $100 bill. And he said, that is for your room and board. So I always give him change. You know, a room and board, I go to a flea bag. Because, of course, they're used to going to the Palace Hotel and the Fifth Hotel. Well, those days probably cost $10 a night. But when I say flea bag, I go to a place that costs $1.50. But it's pretty good. Those days, you know, you
like
have to
realize.
Like a
middle class hotel?
Well, it's like a pretty good motel nowadays.
Uh-huh.
And I go to Chinatown. Little rice, and it costs me maybe $2 or $3 a day. It might be pretty good, you know. But they're used to these great big steaks, there's gourmet stuff, and I imagine is a Caucasian driver probably eats like they do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think anyway. I think a Caucasian driver don't give him as much money back, or don't give him any. But I always have an accounting, you know, what I spend and give him the money. And the first time I gave him the money, he looked at the money. He said, what'd you do, stay with relatives? I don't know. No, it's not going to be.
I'm sure he appreciated it.
Yeah. So, I guess maybe I was too naive to cheat him. He was paying me good money, I thought.
So did you go to college?
No, this happened before he offered me this business. And I used to drive him every other day up to Hollywood Park. They were building at that time. And the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. I had a very easy job.
Did you associate with any, did you have any friends at that time? You know, not business acquaintances or...
Oh no, most of my friends were the house boyfriends. Chinese.
Did you go to Chinatown?
Oh yeah, I joined the Chinese tennis club.
Ah, yes.
I used to go there every Sunday and play tennis.
And so your friends were mostly, but then the tennis club members were not house boyfriends.
Oh, some of them are. Some of them were, rather. Oh yeah, in fact, substantial percentage of them either working at a house or working part-time or they go to school.
I see. Tennis then was not really a highbrow sport at that time.
It's a very cheap sport to be involved with.
It has gained a certain amount of status for some reason or another now.
Golf was a little too expensive.
When did you join the Chinese tennis club?
I think I joined it when I was going to high school. I think in my senior year in high school, the people I worked for decided to give me a day off a week.
Oh, I see. Well, it didn't
Sunday.
Used to be, huh?
No, it didn't. Okay. And so, they gave me Sunday off. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I didn't know what to do. So, one Sunday, early in the morning, I just took a streetcar, I just got out of Chinatown and see what's going on, you know, and I ran into, became acquainted with a couple of Chinese kids,
mm-hmm.
found out to play tennis, which I think, why don't you join the tennis club?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, okay, I'll do the tennis club, and that's how I became involved with the tennis community.
How often did you go to Chinatown?
How often? Oh, once or twice a week.
Mm.
Every day off I have, I go back.
And that was throughout the time, the, right into the late 30s and early 40s, right?
Oh, yeah.
You go there mostly to eat or to...
You mean now?
Visit your friends. No, at that time.
Oh, that time? Oh, just visit friends.
Oh, not just to go to restaurants.
Oh, no, because we have... that time I was very selective about my friends. Well, I mean, when you are not prejudiced yourself to begin with, and you're prejudiced against, you get a traumatic experience. So you're a lot more selective than you were before. You know, once burned, you know, you don't want to get into that problem again. So, you know, most I try, most of the time, to mix them all with my peers in Chinese descent. And I have a couple of fucking friends.
How long did you stay with McCarty? Is that his name?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. I stayed with him, oh, probably about a year. And then this director called me back. He called me back. He wanted to make some arrangements. He made it so attractive. I forgot what. System. Well, some. Well, anyway, he wanted me back.
So did you go back?
Well, he. Well, see, he's German.
Dieterle, right?
Yeah, Dieterle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because he's German, he's not American. It's possible that I might have trusted him a little bit more than I did McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because McCarthy offered me so much, I didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dieterle did send two people through school. One of them is a doctor. At that time, he was going to Memphis. So he turned it around, you know. Says, you know, I can do the same thing for you that I did for Peter. That's Peter Bernays, one of the students that he sponsored from college. I went back to work, which was a mistake. I should have stayed with McCarty. But anyway, I went
what back. Happened after you went back to the?
Well, things changed, and you know, he wasn't. I could feel the undercurrent that he felt that he made a mistake in asking me back by inadvertently, you know, promising me these things. I could do. And,
how long did you stay?
Oh, the second time, oh, about a couple of 2 months. And, cardiac.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, I decided to chuck everything to get it. Because I was giving him guys here to get it. I'm going to go get a job doing something else. So I gave up those jobs and I decided to try something in the produce business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got myself a job that paid me $9.50 a week, working 60 hours a week.
Oh dear.
I just wanted to try something different, you know.
Quit, with whom and where?
Well, a fellow named Chin in the wholesale produce market. I was a swamper. You know what a swamper is? Loads and unloads.
Okay.
So anyway, I did that for about 5 or 6 months.
What were your working hours?
Well, let's see. I leave the house about 9:30. Get down to 10 to 10:30.
At night or in the morning?
At night, and I work around until about 11 to 11:30 the next day.
Uh-huh.
And I come home, I have lunch, and I sleep until 9 o'clock, get up and go to work again.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you stay working as a swamper?
Oh, that's how I met my wife.
Oh, really?
Because her brother was a salesman for one of the food designers.
And he introduced you to?
Yeah. He didn't, after he introduced me, he felt he made a mistake.
And he didn't think you were a reputable
worthy
person.
Yeah, that's right.
Worthy person, I think. But by that time it was too late, huh?
No, but I don't know. Anyway, that's how I met my wife.
That's not a typical way of meeting, is it?
Well, generally you have a friend who has a sister, or you have a, relative who introduced somebody. They don't have anything in mind, but...
Oh, they just,
yeah,
it was just a social
just
introduction, I see.
Yeah, after all, there are more boys than girls at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was your salary considered typical of people, the Chinese boys?
It worked down there at that time? Yes.
Yeah.
Beginning salary. I wanted to work my way myself up to be a salesman for one of those produce houses, which pays $25 to $27.50 a week plus commission. Oh, it was big money. But anyway, after that, the hours were bad, and it ruined my social life because I love to go dancing. Can't do it that way. And
so, how long did you stay there?
I don't know. I think about 4 or 5 months. Not too long.
And you went there in 1938 or 39?
About 38. That didn't last too long. Mm-hmm. So you see, I'm a rolling stone.
And after that, what did you do?
After that, I worked about a month in a factory, a sewing factory. I was a maintenance man.
And after that?
After that, I got a job as a bartender.
When did you get into your present field?
It's an accident.
When?
1939.
Oh, good. I'm glad that came very soon after. Did it come right after the bartender job?
Immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that... how am I going to... Oh, yes, there is a salesman that came into the restaurant selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And
where you were working at the bar?
I was working at the bar. He told me, he said, when you're part-time, you can make money selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got started.
I
so I was working in the bar.
Were there any Chinese in the insurance field?
Oh, yes, there was about one or two. I was about the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how did your parents, how did your mother and family react after learning that you had gone into the insurance field?
How did they act?
Was it a reputable field, in other words?
Oh, sure. Anything's reputable so long as it's not gambling or robbing, that time.
Did you have a boss?
In the insurance business? No.
Did you work for a company?
No, we worked for a company. And then from there I branched off into, that was life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So there,
which company?
Guarantee Life, I believe.
How does it work at that time?
Well, they work on a commission basis.
You just go out and sell money?
Oh, we go out and solicit. We go and beat on doors and get doors slammed in our face. And
how long did you work for Guarantee Life?
Until they went out of business.
Oh.
Oh, about 25 years ago.
Oh, 25 years ago. Oh.
You see, I became an agent for Guarantee Life. Now, in this business, I became a salesman and then an agent. See, a salesman, agent, then broker. Those are the steps you take. Now, salesman is an apprentice type
mm-hmm.
of work. So you do that for, a few months, and then you became an agent, a full-fledged agent. So the companies at those days, they help us obtain the license they pay for. And we have to take examinations, and they give us a sample books to study, what they give us. So that examination is very easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see there's a little bit more future in that than just being a bartender. So anyway, I did that part-time and do bartending part-time. And there wasn't enough money in the insurance business for me to quit bartending.
Uh-huh.
And for bartending, I get to know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
try to sell shrimp on the side, which isn't very ethical.
Did you sell to Chinese?
Oh, yes.
Now, and during this time, you still continue to speak Seyup?
Yes. Whatever dialect they speak, I try to copy them.
I see.
Yeah, Gokong, I try to speak Gokong. So now, I don't know what the heck dialect I speak.
And after 55, you continued with the insurance business?
55?
Oh, well, 55 was the year the company went bankrupt.
Oh, no, I was, see, I was in the, so 38, I went to bartending business. 39, I was in the insurance business with a bartending business.
Right.
And in,
when did you quit your bartending?
I forgot whether I got married in 1940 or 39, but anyway.
Uh-huh.
But I got married during that time. And my wife was working as a secretary in the civil service then. And she was getting the, she was getting $17.50 a week. Terrific. So we got married because we figured we'd made enough for it. And in 1940, 39, 40, anyway, 41, the war started.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you participate?
Oh, yeah, I was a bartender. I was working the defense plan, and then I had my insurance was all going at the same time. And then I also went to USC during the same time, all that business. So. I finally found that I couldn't keep going to school and then continue business and working all day. I don't get much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I had a family, so I just continued that. I think in 1942, I think it was SC. I think I went there for a year. And I couldn't continue because of family reasons. Not because of economics, because time element involved. I just couldn't spend all that time doing three or four things at one time. So I'm one of those.
So you didn't graduate from
this? No. I took business and accounting.
How long were you in SC? A year?
A little
year?
Over a year.
Uh-huh.
So
why did you go to SC? Isn't it a private college which cost a lot more?
I don't recall what it cost. I had an argument with Mr. Gu. I thought I paid $11, and he thought I paid less. But anyway, that's a moot question.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't too much. A unit.
You never thought of going into something like writing or you know, becoming working for a newspaper or a magazine?
No. I know what my limitations are.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the imagination or the creativity to do any writing. It takes a highly imaginative and creative person to do that. Anything in the arts.
How about being the editor?
Actor?
Editor for a magazine or a newspaper.
No. Well, I thought about that, but editor, you know, back room, you know, just like a prison. And, I've acted in movies before, too.
Really? When?
In the interim.
Uh-huh.
Oh, during, you know, when I have a little space left, we work in the movies as an extra.
Did you, was Bessie Lou your agent?
Yeah. $5.50 was that a day. And I did some bit cards. Yeah.
And tape.